Yeah, well, good evening everyone out there. This is Talk Tank. Welcome to the show. We've got a guest in. He arrived already. Paul will probably tune in soon. It's a bit into the program, I know, but we had some preparations here to provide you with brand new fresh content. And Ian wants to start off with America.
Yeah, I'll get into that in a minute. My highlight of the week included drinking stale chai tea on my front veranda as the early morning sun warmed my toes, and a moth fluttered out a haunting rendition of Nutcracker Suite on my flatmate's discarded toenail. And I pondered why Freddie Mercury gets a long weekend in Australia named after him. Is he in fact alive on the Queen's birthday weekend? USA war spending. $800 billion has been spent in Iraq already. $800 billion. And Afghanistan, a similar amount. How much oil will draw in a windfall and justify lost lives? 2,500 US troops now killed in Iraq. And also, Martin, there's fears of Al-Qaeda in Somalia. It's been around for a while, that theory. Fears spelled out in New York this week at a forum on terrorism in Africa. And what about the folks suffering in Sudan? Where's $800 billion now?
Down the pocket of certain personalities and certain losses of gambling houses and other Dubai comes to mind. Qatar comes to mind. Fly Emirate comes to mind. Chelsea Club comes to mind. Russian Mafia comes to mind.
What about oil in the Congo?
Well, it's about resource, but you need Ivory to know Coast. The personalities who you want to lubricate.
Lubricate my goat.
Yeah.
Well, what about our Kasabi? Was he trying to induce a war between the US and Iran? That's when they're happy to shoot him down during the week?
Could be.
Yeah. Probably was.
For me, too hard to guess with my half, my scanning half impeded this temperature of this time of year. Scanning is slower and there's not as much time available for scanning into depth into all the topics. I prepared a range of things and
good.
It took me a while with the breakdowns of networks and computers here at NIMFM, but I managed. Anyway, I could relate to your topic there. Have you got more on it or
complete? No, that's pretty much it. I do find interesting in Sudan and Somalia where it is a hot pot there with the Muslim community. I mean, to me, I don't know a great deal about it. Obviously, I haven't been over there, but you only hear what you hear from the media, and it's a curiosity, that's for sure. Yeah, Africa is the new oil area at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's true. And it's also easy to walk over in Africa these days.
Yeah.
Much easier than the colonial days, where they had to actually bring troops and guns and stuff.
Mm.
Now they just sell guns to the Africans and let them deal with it.
Yeah.
Inside.
They've got another one on terrorist laws in Australia, all control, Phil Ruddock. There's no transparency on laws and terrorism in Australia at the moment.
Really?
The Democrats say there's no transparency.
Oh.
And anything from the Libs anymore, including transparency, you know, it's all a hush-hush society, do what you're told, vote them in because of your mortgage rates, and then get told what to do by Johnny Howard. Only serious terrorist groups are listed in this regard, says Uncle Phil.
Serious terrorist group only, such as local demon soccer.
I was going to say, it'd be soccer clubs. Anyone who plays soccer in Sydney or Melbourne.
Soccer, yeah. The Wogs, yeah, okay. Leave that for later. Are you done on that?
Yeah.
I might tie in then with David Hicks, Is Out of Guantanamo Now? Is a commentary I got by Peter Murphy for a contribution I uploaded yesterday. People can have that upload, scan.org, June 16th, the weekly sort of global and local issued middle of the road podcast, very average. But you want to hear excerpt? This is in mono, this program, and it's slow encoded. So if one and hears anything today, tonight, I mean, on this talk tank here, there are hi-fi versions in the program called Scandalog.
Hi-fi
16th, hi-fi stereo, high encoding, right? So
bring it on.
And do your own chops and cuts better with it, and it's also more enjoyable on a stereo radio station as much as on your personal iPod. David Hicks, we want to tie in, there's three comments I got from this, but David Hicks, Out of Guantanamo Now is written by Peter Murphy. I found this all on melbourneindiemedia.org as well as on sydneyindiemedia.org, those three comments. The next one is by Anon, written also today, June 17. Indonesian state-sanctioned terrorists warn Australia, is the headline. And the third one, judge rules US can detain non-citizens indefinitely by Democracy Now, Saturday, June 17 also. So that is commentary onto this contribution, if I just sort of might pull it off here for 5.5 minutes. You'll be not bearing with our voices.
Enjoy.
Dead men left behind suicide notes written in Arabic and a lot of questions about conditions inside the camp. This man was a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay and says he contemplated suicide himself.
It comes from despair, not knowing what's happening, not knowing what's going to happen to you on a daily basis, being told that you are a terrorist when you know yourself you haven't done anything wrong.
More than 400 alleged terrorists are being held in the prison, including an Australian, David Hicks. Only 10 people have been formally charged. None have been found guilty. The United States is rejecting suggestions that three men killed themselves because they were dispirited and despairing, saying instead the deaths were part of a broader strategy.
Taking their own lives was not necessary, but it certainly is a good PR move to draw attention.
The suggestion the suicides were a public relations stunt will only intensify criticism of the prison and provoke more calls for it to be closed.
Guantanamo Bay, I believe at this point in time, it was set up for a reason to extract information from people who are there. I mean, it's been over 4 years. I think the place has now gone past its use-by date and should be closed.
But the Australian Prime Minister, John Howard, says he's been advised David Hicks is doing well.
Suicides of three inmates at Guantanamo Bay as a good PR move. The statement has added fuel to the debate over whether the centre should be closed down.
Prisoner advocates blame the Bush administration for the deaths of the three Guantanamo detainees who hanged themselves, but a senior State Department official says the triple suicide was a tactic to further the jihadi cause.
They don't value their own life, and they certainly don't value ours. Taking their own lives was not necessary, but it certainly is a good PR move to draw attention.
Lawyers and former detainees say the suicides were an act of despair.
When I was down there last week, I'm not allowed to tell you what my client said. There's all of that censored, but I can tell you that they were depressed. And the previous time I was there, one of my most cheerful clients, an Al Jazeera journalist, was talking about suicide.
I hated waking up. The fact that I was looking forward to another day, another week, another month in that dreary type of situation with no hope in mind. Certainly I thought about, you know, ending it all.
25 others tried but failed.
There have been many suicide attempts before, but none has been successful, and I think that this is going to be very bad news for the administration.
Many of them are there without any significant evidence. They've been captured on the battlefield and someone has said you and you and not you and you. They can't be held indefinitely.
About 460 men are held at Guantanamo Bay on suspicions of links to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. President Bush said last week he'd like to close the detention center and that most of the inmates ought to be tried in the U.S.
Two of the dead men were from Saudi Arabia, and there, human rights groups are blaming the U.S. government and asking if the prisoners were tortured. Here in the United States, Democrats and now even the senior Republican are criticizing conditions at the camp.
He's lost the desire to eat. He's lost quite a considerable amount of weight.
Today, the Prime Minister disputed Mr. Hicks's condition at Guantanamo Bay.
Well, I've been told that he received a consular visit about 2 weeks ago, and the report from that consular visit is positive.
The International Red Cross has demanded immediate access to Guantanamo Bay to investigate the circumstances of the deaths.
The US State Department that the three suicides at Guantanamo Bay signify nothing more than a good PR move by the dead men.
Well, look, it's obviously always unfortunate if people die in any circumstances, and if they've committed suicide, I don't know enough about these people. I honestly know really virtually nothing about them and the circumstances of their suicide. Of course, in detention from time to time, sadly, people do commit suicide, but I couldn't really tell you anything about their particular circumstances. Oh, look, people will choose their own words and put things as they wish to. I don't know about committing suicide, although, of course, there have been suicide bombers in very large numbers, mainly but not exclusively representing Al-Qaeda and terrorist organisations of that kind. But whether these suicides had anything to do with that, or whether these suicides were
Yeah, well, we're back. Now we're informed, as far as Australian media goes, that's where I got it from. Yeah, people can have that in to better effect in stereo if they like it.
Wunderbar.
So that was Guantanamo, American spending, and other evil deeds. What's your next one, Ian?
Ships ahoy, there's Moby Dick. Yep, Wales, Japan's 50% controlled voter delegation with Norway and Iceland in St. Kitts at the moment. St. Kitts, I suppose, should say, in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Now, this is setting back the clock 60 years if Japan gets their votes, and reminiscent of the 1970s Wales slayings. Labor says there's a real fear that Labor's last-minute diplomacy won't save Australia's anti-whaling cause. Even though there is needed a 75% vote to overturn the moratorium, so there's no extra whale burgers for Japan, it is hoped. But you're saying yourself, Mark, before that about the numbers, the voting numbers in accordance.
Yeah, they won. Ian Campbell can chip himself on the shoulder.
Good, good, good. I've got some good news for Wales as far as numbers. I mean, it's 2 weeks ago when we spoke about whales coming up the east coast of Australia, that, certain species and numbers are down, including blue whale numbers and southern right whales. Some good news.
Yeah.
There are 47 whales spotted off Kurnell this Wednesday. That's in off Botany Bay in southern Sydney.
What kind? Do you know the types? Are they of significance?
Well, some of my friends have actually done this before for National Parks and Wildlife Service. It's the volunteers, and it's off Cape Solander and Kurnell, and you mark down this whales breach differently, and you can see a humpback just certainly from its shape. There's no other way it looks like the humpback, and the way they breach, but. So this Wednesday there was 36 on Thursday, 47 on Wednesday, and 19. So there's big numbers coming up the coast, and they're heading up past Byron at present. And there's been a lot of people out there protesting off Cape Byron at the lighthouse there about Japan, Norway, and Iceland's effective destruction of whales for whale burgers. They're heading up towards warm tropical Barrier Reef waters at the moment here in winter in Australia.
Yeah.
And they calve in more pleasant conditions. Their record numbers are now being seen in the past week, like I was saying, and the numbers expect to peak actually on the 21st of June in the winter solstice, which is nice. Last year, listeners, we had people coming down from Arnhem and Yungu. And they were whale callers, and we also had Māori from New Zealand come across, and to the Bundjalung people of this part of the world, and they called in, I think, 12 whales came in from their tribes calling in the whales, which is, I wasn't there, but look, that would have been blowing me away if I'd seen that.
Yeah, I was wondering what prehistoric people thought of those animals.
I've got a nice story down south of, down towards Eden, where it's famous in southern New South Wales for hunting whales.
Yeah.
The whitefellow whalers, only 20, 30 years ago, actually using killer whales. Orcas to the walkers would come in and splash around the water and call out, and the whales would go out and actually hunt whales that had come up into the harbour on their migration route. So they had a relationship, almost symbiotic relationship between whale and people. Now this stems back to the Koori, the Aboriginal folk down there. They had a brothership relationship with the orca, and they are symbolic of brotherhood as far as they are the spirits of their ancestors. And
Common sense would make you believe that You know, without proof, no.
Well, they use each other to hunt the bigger whales, and they're both the orca, the killer whales want the tongue of the whale, and then the Aboriginal folk and the later on the whitefellas, they wanted the
wrestler. Most other primates and herd, some of the hunting packs like wolves, and they sort of combine the mediocrity of like you and me and Tanya on this program. We combine our quarter knowledge.
Survival
and we still make it, you know, we still survive.
So that's a good story.
So that's going back, you brought me to this topic.
Yep.
Going back a while in what you call it, which brings us backwards 60 years, is that?
Yeah, 60. Oh, well, and also, but even as far back as the 1970s, Australia was one of the last, I think was the last country in the Western world to stop whale hunting. And Koori Fake also, you're in what mob down in Sydney Harbour. They used to hunt whales from canoes in Sydney Harbour. Yeah. And you only occasionally get whales in Sydney Harbour nowadays.
Yeah. Well, I can't get them in Nimbim here, but it just reminded me the other day, we had this thing where John Holt was ranting against Kim Beazley about being backwards, and my flatmate Warwick was cooking on the microwave, which does this beeping. So here's the result of this cross-lateral connection of having two messages in the head and a context in the real world.
Can you back it in a bit more into the 50s, mate?
No, I don't know, mate. There's not much room in there.
You know, I thought we'd reach the 60s, no easy on the backward trip here with the truck. With the Austrac. I thought it wouldn't be so difficult to reach the 50s. It's full of yanks, mate. Now what? Is there room there or is there no room there?
It's full of bloody yanks, mate.
Yeah, it reminds me of Jimi Hendrix somehow, I don't know why. Well, Ian, you got something from East Timor there with some connection you have?
I don't know, anyone's listening, there's a few people probably listening who know Tool or Adrianopoulos. She's a friend of mine, and Tula flies back to help East Timorese women and refugees. Shannon Woman to work with East Timor's First Lady. Now that's Kirsty Sword Guzmão. That's Shana Guzmao's wife. My friend Tula has returned to East Timor a week ago. She has an important role to play in aiding women and the young during times of hardship in East Timor. Tula is no stranger to these tropical island shores. She has spent some years in East Timor since the referendum which spoke of East Timorese independence.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a bag of banana lilies and mustics with you. Not the sort of request you would expect from the First Lady.
So this again? Bring what along?
Bring a bag of banana lilies and mustics.
Oh, yeah.
That's a request from the First Lady. Now, that's from Kirsty Sword Guzmão.
Yeah, it doesn't cause a toxic waste problem.
Well, you know, it's a delicacy, but the wife of East Timorese President Janana Guzmão cheekily asked if her good friend Tula Adrianopoulos yesterday could bring them along.
Compare that with the miners. Remember what the miners were requested there and their predicament down there.
Fighters. They wanted food fighters.
And sort of corny, crazy junk food and stuff.
Well, Tula flew out from here the other day to war-ravaged East Timor to be Miss Swords Guzmão's personal assistant. Mm. The women first met in East Timor in 2000 while working with female resistance fighters. And Miss Adrianopoulos, a community development worker, later became manager of Kirsty Sword Guzmão's Alala Foundation. This dedicated to the advancement of the women of East Timor. Anyway, Tula's works for Alala, and that's a foundation which supports women and children in refugee camps in East Timor. I'd like to just give out the websites www.alolafoundation.org. That's www.alolafoundation.org. If you want to support Tula and Alala. I've known Tula for about 17 years. Her work includes helping people in Sydney's infamous King's Cross with Wesley Mission and recently working with kids here at Nimbin High. Tula also asked me to help teach the students bush and rainforest information, which was also very flattering. But she's off now out to East Timor. As many as 90,000 people are currently residing in Dili refugee camps. A group of Tula's friends are organising a fundraiser to support Tula. And it's hopefully, keep your radar out for this, on the 15th of July at the Shannon Hall. There will be heaps of live bands and it will be a bloody top night. Now, for any information, contact Jamie, who's a good mate of mine. That's 0428 839 192. 0428 839 192. That's Jamie if you want to help support Tula and also you want to find out a bit about Shannon Hall gig. It's good to see local people pulling their heart out to help these people, and Tula's, you know, she's been around, she knows what she's doing, and we're all very proud of her.
You're aware we have we just had a bit of a kerfuffle about the asylum seeker laws with West Papuan refugees causing the whole thing.
Oh,
stirring
yeah,
it up
yeah,
in the first
yeah.
place, and then it ripples through the whole scene. And
Nauru.
It's not a universal kerfuffle. I made some effort here to cover that. Shall we go into that?
Yes.
Okay, here we've got another piece which is also available in Hi-Fi Stereo on nimbimradiomedia.libsyn.com called Scandal of June 16. Find all those things in stereo. I find this one is a mono show. Stay tuned. Talk Tank. We're about 15 minutes into it, actually, only, and it's already half hour gone. That's us here.
Where does
and
fly?
Also, I must mention this here quickly. Tonight appears that the microphone problems have been all resolved because it's just the two of us, Ian
and
myself,
Martin.
Yeah,
right here in my big mouth. It's beautiful.
Okay, let's go and get into the Asylum Seeker Law media clip coverage.
Returns to the boarding school he set up in central Java, which is notorious for teaching some of Southeast Asia's deadliest militants. And while John Howard has criticised Bashir's jail term, he's urging Indonesia to respect Australia's immigration laws and its decision to grant visas to West Papuan asylum seekers.
Playing to a domestic audience, and it's not very effective diplomacy because it will further irritate the Indonesians.
I think what we're seeing is John Howard standing now wondering about whether he can hold the coalition together.
Being changed into exile, it never has been any part of the Australian mainland. That is a ludicrous proposition.
Every week I get the occasion to reflect on how good it is to be in the Liberal Party.
When Indonesia won't change its terror laws to keep Abu Bakar Bashir in jail, he will change our immigration laws to keep Indonesians happy.
The parliamentary delegation arrived in Canberra today as part of the fence bending process. They're to meet the Prime Minister tomorrow, just as the Liberal dissidents prepare for more discussions with the government. Even though they hold grave doubts the new legislation can be amended to make it consistent with the deal, which saw children removed from detention.
We'll be going ahead with it, and I believe it will pass. I don't think we should think that each issue is dealt with, other difficult issues won't arise in the future. We are a very different country.
It's flying in the face of modern day reality. Take us back, old fashioned.
It's very backward looking.
It's very backward.
Any relationship, you cannot simply say, well, we expect you to do everything for us, but we're not going to take any account of your interests.
Being sent into exile, it never has been any part of the Australian mainland. That is a ludicrous proposition.
The Immigration Minister, Amanda Vanstone, will meet rebel coalition MPs again this morning after getting advice from bureaucrats about some changes the government's proposing to make the tougher asylum seeker laws more palatable.
We're listening, Australia is listening to Indonesia, but does the release of Abu Bakar Bashir indicate that Indonesia wouldn't listen to Australia in this way?
Well, look, we have to follow our law. We did so in relation to the application for protection. We didn't make any moans about that, and we're not going to change it.
They have to follow their law.
Well, look, if you want to come and live in Australia, you're going to have to get used to something. It's a free country, and people are entitled to ask to see you. If you don't want to see them, you just say no. It's not an abuse of my human rights to ask to see you if you don't want to see me.
You won't get involved?
Well, I'm not sure what involvement you'd imagine I'd have. It's a free country. People can come here and ask to see people, and if they don't want to see them, you know what? In a free country,
they don't have to see them.
They don't have to see them. They don't have to see them.
Minister Amanda Vanstone rejects claims the government is kowtowing to Indonesia.
Nobody likes that concept of kowtowing to anybody. Let's not put this in Australia, Indonesia. No individual, no nation state likes to be in the context, seen in the context of kowtowing. But just to remind everybody, the Indonesians were very upset that we refused to kowtow and went ahead with our normal processes and commitments and gave the 42 Indonesian West Papuans protection visas. Well, look, I'm not going to discuss the contents of the negotiations. I don't think that's fair. I'm not aware that any of the people with whom I'm negotiating are doing that, and I think it would be bad faith for me to do it. But I can say this. We're looking very, very closely at the Senate committee report. I said before, you'd expect that from any minister, but especially one who's, 21 years in Parliament has been in the Senate. Parliament has been in the Senate. So we're looking very, very closely at what we can do to listen to those concerns and accommodate them on. And we are also looking at what my colleagues, both in the House of Reps and in the Senate, have raised, and we're looking carefully at that. That's proper process. That's proper process. Well, you know, there's a bit of a foofy going around here that we've said absolutely no one will ever come here.
Well, you want to look at a third country.
Well, what we've said is it's our very strong preference that people be offered protection in another place.
So you're opening the door to being settled here?
But we have no. And others have said that there may be circumstances, and we'd look at it. Now, circumstances might be, for example, medical circumstances. Obviously, you don't know what medical emergencies are going to come up and what the timing is of flights and whether you would need someone to come here. But another circumstance that we can envisage might be appropriate would be where someone had most of their family here.
Vanstone says she's looking very carefully at the report that was tabled before the Senate. I think the committee that tabled that report has done a good job, and it's great to see the independence of the Senate working as it should. First of all, that we determine our policies by the government of this nation and that we're not influenced or stood over by other countries.
There we are.
Welcome back to Fretland Radio.
Yeah. So, yeah, they will affect the Timorese sooner or later. It has affected them in the past.
Our asylum seeker laws, no? Well, I've mentioned before on this show.
They dare not come here, you know.
Well, I was friends of Al Kateri, the Prime Minister's daughter. He's had a lot of allegations pointing his way as hiring his own soldiers to murder the opposition. I find it quite daunting that my friend Tool is hanging out with, Guzman, and at the same time, the supposed enemy is my other friend's daughter. It's a bit awkward when you read these things. You only think about families and how they're affected by all this, and if actually the truth is actually being spoken.
Well, yeah, we're civilians, millions of them. That's what we are.
So we're going to talk nuclear energy now, Martin?
Yeah, nuclear energy, I'm going to just take it ahead. If there is qualified talk available on the internet, on nimbimradiomedia.libsyn.com again, and it's called Ecocentric, that program. It's about, I think, 48 minutes long. And Miriam and Kieran are presenters on Friday's program, Ecocentric, called now.
Excellent.
Done a wonderful job on taking it apart for everyone.
Hard workers.
Yeah, it's you can just go to the website, Nimbim Radio Media, Lips, and just read the blurb, then you know what's on there.
Recommend you do.
Peter Peddle's done a marvellous job on the mining part of it, but we've already moved on now, so I've got something too here, yeah.
Lucas Heights?
No, I just wanted to point out a good story written by Doug Lorimer in the Green Left Weekly about Howard pushes for uranium enrichment. I don't want to read it. It's just to give you a cross-reference.
Okay. I want to talk a bit about Lucas Heights. I've worked there doing the air conditioning maintenance a few years back, a long time ago now, and we had to wear all the padding and all the gear because it's a nuclear... Well, they fiddle around with nuclear energy and see if it works.
Did you do biological medical experiments?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the thing is, we had to wear all the gear just to walk through the labs and in and out. We had to do the exhaust duct work, and it was a bit spooky.
I thought it was a photo session. It looks funny when you're in a hazard suit. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, oh, you're used to wearing them anyway in the duck boat. This is a few years ago.
It's all the rave in Hollywood.
Well, Lucas Heights actually out on sandstone areas, and it's in a forested area to the south west of Sydney, not far from the Royal National Park. Anyway, Lucas Heights is the second accident in a week on Wednesday morning and the previous Thursday also. A canister released gases of vaporized contamination at Lucas Heights.
Did it?
Yeah, and a technician who was handling the canister, and the same poor old fellow who hit the alarm button, sucked back a few fumes. He ingested a small quantity of iodine. He gave up seafood the week before and needed a fix anyhow, I reckon.
That's why this story says safe radiation safely leaks at Lucas Heights.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into that after.
Well, he's fine, says the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation, but Labor says... This is a federal government.
But how will he be next year or 10 years or 20 years?
Well, yeah, well, there you go.
Dead, probably.
Green, very green liver.
Yeah.
But Labor says it's there's 12 accidents reported reported in the last... Oh, in 2005, and this led to an argument in court where 5 Labor MPs were ejected as they snarled at the Federal Liberal Party for these mistakes. The Liberals reckon that there's been no problems dangerous enough to be reported to the Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency. They're scaremongering the Science Minister, Julie Bishop, morosed. Yeah, she believes Labor won't debate nuclear power. It's an attempt to discredit a valuable process, Miss Bishop believes. It has released a vapor lower than naturally found in the atmosphere, they believe. I wish we could say the same about the pig methane shite coming from her leader's head talking device, I feel.
Uh-huh. So yeah, well, my story says... my story is lifted from ironyparty.org. And it says in the headline, I only grabbed the first chapter of it. It's a longer story. So go there, ironyparty.org. Good website for current affairs. Description from a bent angle, I would say. Anyway, it says here, the leaking of radioactive material at Sydney's Lucas Heights nuclear reactor earlier this week, where the rupture of a pipe used in the manufacture of medical isotopes provided the media with a welcome case in point only days after Prime Minister John Howard announced the government will inquire into the possible development of nuclear energy on the Australian continent. But the attempts of the anti-nuclear lobby to spin a nightmarish tale from the incident have proved fruitless, with the nuclear accident in actuality nothing more than a red herring. In fact, it has been revealed the safe radioactive leak was quite safe and well within normal safe levels, with no humans more than a mite exposed. And it continues. Mm. Yeah. I've got a breaker here to bring in. A little breaker to lighten the mood, because I'm addicted to it, because I discovered computers. And so pull the African people back who are running here in the backdrop and contribute this little bit. It's only a minute long.
But I believe that Bush is the greatest recruiter for Al-Qaeda.
I made it clear that we will use military might to wage war. Manipulation.
To undermine
the personal lives of millions. Personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
What will be a broad and concerted campaign.
Terrorism.
We want America out of this country. We hate America. We hate America. They have no responsibility. Their army, drunk, and they're driving on the road, killing innocent people.
Yeah, complaining about the monoization of this console here when you have wonderful stereo material. You can have it on nimbimradiomedia.libsyn in hi-fi.
Do they play that on the buses going out to soccer games? Soccer teams?
Yeah.
Here we go,
So you had a more or less one of the last items to chuck in?
Oh, just I'm a big fan of Sri Lanka too. I've never been there. My family's got a lot of Sri Lankan friends, and mum and dad went over there last
year. Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. There's been revenge attacks between the government and the Tigers, Tamil Tigers recently. It's apparently it's a ceasefire, but it's not really a ceasefire. There's two ball-bearing mine remote-controlled bombs hanging by trees that blew a bus up yesterday there. And then there were shooters lying in situ in the bushes and shooting, shooting. And there's young kids aboard. Anyway, the villagers in these areas, civilians, have because the failed peace talks last week, the villagers are fleeing the fighting zone. I just think it's sad, you know. I wish they could sort that out. That's been going for a long time in Sri Lanka.
That's a bleeding, stupid thing, isn't it? For so long going on between two people who are actually the same origin. A bit like the Jews and Palestinians.
Or people in Melbourne and people in Sydney.
It's a sad thing, but we've got happy themes here lined up again. Another little item to contribute here from Heath and Jimmy.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Heath and Jimmy from hempjobs.net. Get ahead with a helping hand. Now, the hemp career of the year is for a self-motivated entertainer invited to perform their acts to maintain the circus atmosphere of this vibrant international tourist destination. Everything you earn is yours to keep. Now, of course, you must be an Australian Commonwealth Employment Union member and believe in hippie wisdom. Thank you. This is Heath and Jimmy from hempjobs.net signing off.
Yeah, impressive. Do you want to join? Hempjobs.net? Write to nimfm.org and tell us whether you want to join hempjobs.net, invented by Heath and Jimmy, who always contributed heaps of good photos and graphics for our website, by the way. So, Ian, you got lined up Hot Topics, a Hot Frankfurter there for us.
Hot Frankfurter? Shamrock News this week, my friends. There's a marine nursery set up in Hawaii.
Oh.
Someone interested in marine biodiversity, many of us are. Most people like a bit of a snorkel around the Barrier Reef, if we can. A bit jealous. And I'm almost embarrassed and ashamed to say that George Bush has actually helped set this up. I don't know where he's compensating in other areas of global warming, but they set up a nursery in Hawaii this week. It's the world's largest marine zone conservation zone. It's actually bigger than the Barrier Reef in area. It's 2,200 kilometres long. There's 7,000 species found there, which a quarter of are endemic to these areas. It combines all the USA's national parks in size, Yellowstone, all the rest of them. And because of New Texas's plastic avoidance control, we talked about New Texas the other week, all the American plastic floating around the oceans.
Yeah.
They're stopping, there's no development, no oil being...
You know what that is?
It's 50 like kilometers in the island.
It's sort of a secret. It's like an alien project to try terraforming.
Or excluding development on tropical islands.
Well, if you just put yourself into the satellite and stare down over it, you know, that would be the most appropriate kind of perspective, to be above it, see it. Oh, there's a huge mass of water, no land. We can make a continent there, you know. Landfill.
Landfill, yeah. Well, all the reefs off Miami down.
Float some, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they can drag all the ruptured fishing kilometers and miles or light years of fishing line on the ocean.
Or make plastic coral.
Remove this shit, you know.
Extra reef breaks with plastic.
That would be not so bad, you know, to do a bit of marine cleanup here.
Well, like I was saying, the reefs off the Caribbean down off Florida there, they're buggered.
Yeah.
A lot of the corals bleaching and just the actual reefs of tourism. I was going to say terrorism, same thing, I suppose, environmental terrorism. They're ruining the reefs anyway. So they're going to need Hawaii for the tourist base for America alone.
Right, so we're through it. Can I just sort of we need to work with the time here a bit. Nimbin time, of course, is all stretchable and compressible, as you like an accordion. This is Warwick's contribution. Some people haven't heard that. I thought I'd place it in because I promised that I'd play it, or I asked him actually. I asked him to whether I can use it, and he agreed. Warwick Fry made this little thing, and it's called I'm So Proud of It. And it's the first song of a CD which is to be released soon in every cyber cafe and other seditious outlets.
The government will continue to avoid questioning ASIO's ability to avoid questioning the government. That is why the government will continue to avoid questioning ASIO. Australians realise that is why they've sent their sons and daughters to war. They've sent their sons and daughters to war to avoid questioning.
Australians realise ASIO is better placed. Australians realise the risk we face. Australians realise ASIO is better placed to collect possible acts of terrorism. ASIO is better placed to collect possible acts of terrorism. Australians realise the risk we face. ASIO is better placed. Improving law and order is essential for re-establishing investor confidence and strengthening the local economy. ASIO is better placed.
But I've never been so proud to arm our security agencies. But I've never been so proud
government will continue moving to amend laws to avoid questioning.
The government will continue to avoid questioning ASIO's ability to avoid questioning government. That is why the government will continue to avoid questioning ASIO. Australians realise why we've sent their sons and daughters to war. Australians realise we've sent their sons and daughters to war to avoid questioning.
The government will continue moving to amend laws to avoid questioning.
But I've never been so proud
to arm our security agencies.
But I've never been so proud. But I've never been so proud.
So, yeah, well, Warwick can be proud, I reckon. Done well, no?
That's a good one, Warren.
Yeah. That's just the start of it, I have the feeling.
do you reckon you could dance to that, Johnny Howard?
Yeah, you can have that from the net. Download that. John Howard can have it at home on his home computer. No worries.
And we don't mean Bob Jelly.
It's not restricted to haters of freedom and love and
nature,
you know? They can have it too.
Lovely.
Yeah, anyway, that was my audio prepared material for tonight, and you've got some more stories in, and I heavily relied on that.
Drought in Oz, if you didn't already know. Northeastern New South Wales is drought free. That's us here in volcanic Nimbin, and the rest of New South Wales is still in drought. Ballina and Byron Bay on the coast, that's from here, we're inland a bit in Nimbin here, had a lottery in precipitation. Here in Nimbin, the rainfall is here and there, hit and miss, but still better than inland or New South Wales regions. 5 years of drought with only 6 months of good rain in that time west of the Great Dividing Range.
Mm.
Culling of dairy herds and the optimistic seeding of wheat in now semi-arid regions with a prayer for rain. Petrol prices, fertiliser and crop chemical prices rising doesn't help anyone on the land either. Now, a lot of people just recently put in wheat seed, they're a type of wheat, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they've been waiting for rain. We did have some rain a few months ago in those, more back towards summer, further west from here inland, in the wheat belt, but there hasn't been a lot lately. It's been more up along the coast, and especially we've been lucky here. Sydney's catchment, the Warragamba catchment, coming off the Blue Mountains, they've missed out a bit too, but Sydney itself's had a huge rainfall last week. It went, you know, thick with rain, first time in a while too for Sydney. But as Percy, my friend Percy here in town, stated today when I was looking at this story, he said, you know, people like us, not just us, but people on the coast and in the big cities, Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne.
Yeah.
We rely on these people out west having the rains to grow the wheat, you know. It's more sustainable. You could use poppy seed from acacia seed and bush tucker, but we're not going that way in a big way, so we're relying on European agricultural farming techniques still, and yeah. The deficit is
pretty stupid,
when drought comes, we bug it.
Yeah, that's a pretty stupid approach. It's not Europe. Hey, no. Farmers, it's not Europe. It's not Poland with 3 meters of topsoil, yeah?
El Nino, and we're also getting our low pressure systems falling south of the Great the Bight down south.
Yeah.
South
Guess of why people from Europe say Europe's got shitty weather, you know? It's about rainfall, you know? There's not one part of the year where there's not one rainfall in any given place in Europe within 1 week, you know? It never stops raining there.
Over
eons of time. Yeah. Nature has formed such a top layer of topsoil, which keeps everything alive and avoids erosion, and is just biologically superior to any other place here in Australia.
Well, they've also got the sediments coming down off the mountains in there's so many mountains in Europe. Australia, we've got the Great Dividing Ranges, which is one of the world's biggest mountain ranges, I have to say, not in height but in length. But we just don't have we've got topsoil, and it gets the agricultural practices here aren't sustainable, and a little topsoil blows off and lands up in bloody New Zealand, and they've got fertile soil, they don't need it. Give it back to us.
Yeah, I was wondering whether the aliens have considered that with building new Texas there in the middle of the Pacific, that you need mountains to get rain, you know, otherwise you won't get any rain.
Fallout.
All right, well, that was Talk Tank. I have to cut because I got a contribution here, which is from South Africa. A person I'm in contact for a while, and it was placed in the radio program but then been taken off again, so I might like to introduce Brian Howard here from Port Elizabeth. I think it's Cape Town or Port Elizabeth nearby.
It is,
anyway. Anyway, here we go.
Hi, it's good to have you with us on NIM FM. I am Brian Howard with Reflections. Abundance. There's something about the concept of abundance, of having more than enough, which either frightens or repels most folks. You know at least a few people who are uncomfortable with the idea of having too much of something, whether that something be money, love, emotion, talent, power, whatever. I'm referring to the self-fulfilling prophecy of shunning excellence, or anything having to do with acquiring skills or habits that may lead to greater success. By staying mediocre, one can avoid the spin-off rewards of success, like the acquisition of material goods, fortune or fame. It's the negative endorsement of a nothing ventured, nothing gained mentality. If I don't try, I won't run the risk of failing, so I'll just blend in with the mediocre majority. This kind of thinking, that it's okay for someone else to enjoy a life of abundance, but not for us, is entirely incorrect. Think about it. Wouldn't a tree be just as beautiful with half as many leaves? Isn't a beach just as magnificent with only a fraction of its sand? Are there too many stars in the sky for your liking? Mother Nature is extravagant in the extreme. So where does this idea that abundance is abhorrent and should be avoided come from? Certainly not from the scriptures. In the book of St. Matthew, we're reminded that faith in God and industriousness will entitle us to a life of abundance. Unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. The fact that you and I are unique in all the world must surely mean that you have been placed on spaceship Earth to perform a series of tasks that you, and you alone, can do better than anyone else in creation. The challenge, I believe, is to find that something that we're good at, and then develop those unique talents to the best of our ability. The East Indians call this our Dharma, or life's work. If you would dare to join the ranks of those who have been blessed with abundance, whatever that word means to you, the first thing you need is to understand that whatever you want also wants you. Your road to abundance starts with adopting the principle of the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want more love in your life? More money? More recognition? More power? Realize that the only lasting way to get more of anything is to help others around you get more of whatever they want first, without ever expecting or demanding anything in return. And in the process, you will receive more love, money, recognition, power, or whatever it is that you desire from sources you never dreamed of.
Yeah, that was Brian Howard from Port Elizabeth, South Africa. Breinholt comes to you with the compliments of St. Francis Hospice, based in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. The hospice provides home-based palliative care for some 500 terminally ill cancer, motor neuron, and HIV/AIDS patients. Over 90% of the patients can't afford to pay anything at all. St. Francis Hospice relies on the goodwill of people like you, that is us here, to provide for doctors, nurses, social workers, and caregivers to those less fortunate. If you'd like to receive a hard copy of Reflections and help the hospice, simply call 66-891-279 and our office number, or send an email straight to Brian Howard himself. The email address is bhoward, a small casing of B in the front of Howard, all small casing, at progen.co.za. Progen is progen.co.za. Or you can write to our email, nimfm@nimfm.org. Thanks, Brian, for sharing your concerns with us. And we have to find some time to phase it out, Ian.
Yeah.
A little blur before we phase out.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. I've enjoyed tonight. It's fantastic. I've got a little thought for food for thought. It's staying poor in Nimbin. If we here in Nimbin were wealthy in terms of capital ego size that counts, i.e. money, yeah, then we would surely be somewhat greedy and more reliant and persuaded by globalisation. Think about it. Be happy. You are poor. You haven't conformed. Your life is richer for it here in Nimbin.
Every Saturday night, Scan.org presents a potpourri of international community and grassroots radio from around the world. Sister stations such as Radio for Houston, KPFA, WBAI, Harlem, Free Radio Santa Cruz, Hans Island, Redback Radio, Subgenius Hour of Slack, Slave Revolt Radio, Bastard Brood of Che, Upstart Radio America, and other independent grassroots radios are all part of the global network of indie media. Do you want to know what they are doing, thinking, and hoping for? Well, tune into Radio International on Saturday night at 7 p.m. going till late. It is not easy to get good radio, knowing not all is well with the ABC and SBS. So you better stick with your community radio tune in van 102.3.
Yeah, you better do, because you're missing now the Rocket Man again.
I'm going home to watch the Wallabies.
Half an hour of it, and then you get something like the Bill or some pre-chewed other crap. but thank you for listening. I hope this is still on the log file, so this does get netcast. And write to us. Give us feedback. It was great, guys, that you wrote to Melbourne Indie Media, commentary on programs we're doing. We appreciate that. It will also motivate those flagging presenters to get their act a bit more back up together for regular, consistent programming. Okay, let's go get out of here.
May your week be warm and sunny, a bit of rain in the night time.
Yeah.